Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's a good day to be alive. I want you to take your Bible, and I'm going to throw up some verses on the screen as we make our way through the message this morning. But I want you to know, over the next several weeks, I plan on preaching a series entitled Encounter. And today's message deals with the subject of baptism. What does it really mean to be baptized? What does the Bible teach about this? We'll look at several verses. I hope that will give you an understanding about this matter of baptism so that you understand. I know for myself, baptism was a necessary step, one that I came to understand several years after I became a Christian. You say, well, why were you not immediately baptized? Well, I didn't really understand. I was supposed to be, that that's what the Bible wanted me to do. And so for me, baptism was a very significant event after my freshman year in college. I had been reading through God's Word for the first time really in my life, reading through, and I read a number of passages which dealt with baptism, and I realized that, you know something, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I need to be obedient to Him. Now, like some of you, I was baptized, I was christened as a child. And so we want to try to sort out what we're supposed to believe, because we've had a number of things that have been taught or have been communicated to us. And so in the end, we've got to decide on what basis do we believe the things that we believe. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. But in the next several weeks, in your bulletin, you have a list of the messages that I plan on preaching over the next several weeks. Encounter, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be baptized? And then next week, we'll look at joining the community. That is, what does it mean to be a member in fellowship with the body of Christ? In 3 weeks, we'll look at joining the community. Why does the church exist? What is the purpose of this church? You say, well, I think I know what the purpose of this church is. Well, we're going to talk about what that means and how to flesh that out, how to live it out. That is, how to walk according to God's Spirit and fulfill the Great Commission, the great commandment, as Brother Charles talked about a few weeks ago. And then we're going to look at a statement of faith and covenant. A statement of faith and covenant. What are some basic things that we believe that I could spend an entire year on Sunday morning teaching and preaching on? Well, we're going to take 30 minutes or so, and it's going to be a shotgun, and you're just going to, well, I hope we're going to get a general understanding of what the Bible teaches, what we believe, particularly this morning. Even in your Bible study, you looked at a very important teaching. That is on the preexistence of Jesus Christ. That is a fundamental teaching, one that distinguishes genuine, authentic Christianity from all kinds of forms of Christianity, supposed Christianity. That is, you need to know and believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus has always been, and He preexisted time. That is, Jesus Himself, there was never a time in which He was created like some think, that Jesus Himself was a created being. And we know that in the incarnation, Jesus became what He had not been before. He's always been God. But you see, at that time, Jesus took upon Himself human form, upon Himself flesh, and He came and He dwelt among men. That's a very, you know, I'm passionate about that teaching. You can tell, can't you? In fact, I believe that doctrine is one of the most important things that we can teach. And a lot of people are saying, you know, it just really doesn't matter what you believe. Really. If it doesn't matter what you believe, if you really believe that, then why even go to church? We're all going to get there anyways, right? If you follow that thinking out logically, there is no point to religion. And I would have to concur with those who see no point in religion. Just close up shop and go home. There is no point to all this foolishness is what it is, isn't it? Now, there is some religious foolishness that goes on, but we'll talk about that later today. What does it mean to be baptized, okay? And I want us to look at why we should be baptized. That's the first subject that I want us to look at. Why should I be baptized? First of all, it demonstrates that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that it communicates. It demonstrates that you are a believer in Jesus. You are identifying yourself with Him. You're saying that Jesus is your Lord. He is your master. You're saying to the Lord first that you identify with Him. Now, why should I be baptized? It demonstrates that I'm a believer. Jesus commanded. He commanded that I would be baptized. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 19. Let me see if I can get those verses to come up here. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It is critical that we understand that a part of the Great Commission, what Jesus left the disciples, the apostles, was for them to go out and to lead people to Jesus and to lead them in a process of identifying with Jesus, a part of which is baptism. And so the first reason I want to be baptized is because Jesus commanded that baptism should take place. He said that those who followed him should follow him in baptism. And when Jesus gives a commandment, it's not a suggestion. So we are to be baptized because that's what the Bible says. Secondly, Jesus himself left us an example. He was baptized in Mark chapter 1 in verse 9. The scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized of John in Jordan." Now, sometimes this passage of scripture, it trips people up because people say, "Well, why did Jesus need to be baptized if he didn't need to be saved?" Jesus didn't need to be saved. He was sinless. He was perfect. But he fulfilled all righteousness, the Bible tells us, in being baptized. He affirmed the ministry of John the Baptist, which was a ministry of calling the people of God to a place of repentance. And the evidence of that repentance in their life was seen through the waters of baptism. It was a change, literally, a changing of their thinking. For the Jew, it meant that now they were going to have to change. They were going to have to rethink what they thought they believed. And so they had to come to a change of mind. He was calling for a time of repentance, a time of change. In fact, John the Baptist was critical in laying the foundation for Jesus and paving the road. You might want to say he was a pioneer. Certainly he was a prophet. And he blazoned the trail so that when Jesus came along, Jesus affirmed the testimony of John, but he himself fulfilled all righteousness, the Bible teaches us. Now, Jesus was baptized. And he left us this example of baptism. And so Jesus commanded it, but also Jesus himself was baptized. But the third reason I want to give you is that disciples want to. In Acts chapter 18 in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and they were," what? "They were baptized." You find this word reoccurring throughout the New Testament. In the book of Acts, what we find is that those who were following Jesus, that when they recognized Jesus as Messiah, as Lord, as their Savior, that they wanted to identify with him. Disciples want to be baptized. Disciples are people who've chosen to follow after Jesus and have said, "Not my will, Lord, be done, but your will be done." Disciples are people who are coming to the conclusion and are growing in their understanding that what Jesus commands is not a suggestion. And so for some of us, we didn't really understand what Jesus said and what the Bible said about baptism. And so it took several years. It's not because I didn't want to. It's because I didn't even know I was supposed to. But you see, from this day forward, none of you will be able to say that. You won't be able to say, "Well, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to." You know now that the Bible is teaching this and many other verses that we're going to look at this morning. And so it's very important that you see disciples who are committing their lives to Jesus, who are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John 1:12, that they are committed to following Jesus and they are going to identify themselves with Jesus. They are not going to be ashamed of this Jesus that they believed in. And so they identify themselves with him. And so why should we be baptized? Well, there's your three reasons right there. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, we want to be concerned with what Jesus commanded, how he lived out his life. And certainly as disciples of Christ, we see early followers of Jesus who are determined. And keep in mind, I'll never forget the student when I was at evangelism coordinator at East Texas State University, now Texas A&M Commerce. And there was a young lady there who was of Jewish background, and she came to know Jesus as her Savior, but a commitment to be baptized. I never forget. Her name was Cheryl. I never forget what she told us. She said, "You don't understand. For me to be baptized, to follow Jesus in that way, means that my family will cease to recognize me as a living person." You know what that means? It was such a radical change for her family that to be baptized was a huge commitment. She knew that. Now, some of us who, you know, we don't understand that. We didn't understand that, you know, being baptized, it didn't mean a radical change or even break from our family. But in some cases, that's what it means. And it's not that she was rebellious toward her family at all. But here she was in this decision of, is she going to be baptized? You say, well, why would she have to be baptized if baptism in and of itself doesn't save her? She'd already been saved. Well, baptism in the New Testament is that evidence of conversion. It's what we find. We don't really see people, and we're not against people walking down the aisle and making decisions for Christ and following Jesus Christ. We encourage it. But in the New Testament, what you find is those who follow Jesus, follow him most clearly, follow him in baptism. Now, what is the meaning of baptism? It identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It illustrates that. In just a few moments, you're going to see someone baptized. And oftentimes when I baptize someone, what I say is buried in the likeness of his death, okay, raised to walk in the newness of life. What is that picture? Jesus' death as he was placed in the tomb. On the third day, he rose again. It's the death, his crucifixion, his death upon the cross, his placement in that tomb. And then on the third day, Jesus rose again. Now, if we didn't believe in the resurrection and we didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, when we would baptize people, the best illustration of that would be just to hold them under the water. Because if Jesus didn't come up from the grave, then you just hold them, because that would be the illustration, wouldn't it? But that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm so glad for your sake and mine that we get to come up out of the water. Aren't you? It's more than coming up out of the water. The fact of the matter is that when we are baptized, we are identifying with the greatest truth found in all the world, that Jesus' death upon the cross was sufficient enough to atone for my sin. That is, Jesus, as he died on that cross, according to Romans chapter 5, the Bible tells us that Jesus' death was an atoning work. He stood before the Father on our behalf. He incurred the wrath of Almighty God on our behalf because of our sin. That's what Jesus did. He died, and upon himself, he took our sin. And he took my filthy, unrighteous garment. He put it on, bore the weight of my sin, bore the punishment for my sin. And he gave me a new robe of righteousness that I wear today. Why? Not because I've cleaned it up, but because he gave it to me. Because he gave it to me. Wasn't cheap. And so it identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Biblically, it speaks with our identification with Christ. Let me pull up this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 3 through 4. The Bible says, "For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then our scripture reading a little bit earlier today, but now from chapter 6 in Romans verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were," what? "Into his." So we are identifying with Jesus. That's what happens when we come to know Jesus and when we are baptized. What we're saying is, well, that his death, his burial, his resurrection is sufficient for us. And so symbolically, it also speaks of cleansing. It speaks of cleansing, the water itself. In fact, today you can go to Jerusalem, and there just out off the Temple Mount are a series of steps. And at the bottom of those steps are a number of, they're pools of water is what they are. But what they represented in the time of Jesus was they were pools of water that were used for cleansing. Baptism is not unique to Christianity. We see it in various religious groups. Truth is, when you look at the history of baptism, the origin of baptism, you see various groups. And oftentimes the symbol of water speaks of cleansing. And that is true with Christianity. But our cleansing is not because of the water. It's because of what Jesus did for us upon the cross. His blood shed for us. His death, his blood shed for us. That's where the cleansing is. The water simply speaks of that cleansing that takes place. Well, there's another passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We identify with Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've made a choice. A choice that God has led you to by his own goodness, because the Scriptures say that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And in that decision that we make, we have become new creatures. We're not the same old man we used to be. We're not the same old woman we used to be. We are different. Something has changed. The Spirit of God has come to live in us. We've been declared right, even though we've lived wrong for so many years of our lives. Because we've all sinned, right? And fall short of the glory of God. We identify with Christ. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. So when we come to know Jesus, we follow him. As those who are believers, we identify with him as new creatures in Christ. Now, baptism doesn't make you, it doesn't make you a believer, okay? It doesn't change who you are. If I believe that water in and of itself could change somebody and make them a Christian, I would go out here at the fire hydrant and I would put the biggest hose on there I could. I'd water down people as they would come by. I mean, I'd get them in the water. I'd bring them. I'd do whatever I could. With all the rain that we've had recently, I'd knock on the door, get them outside. I'd dunk them. We would just make water the saving fact. And there are some groups who've built their entire denomination on the fact that they believe that the Bible teaches that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. The consequence of being saved is that you will want to be baptized. It is the result of, not the reason that you are a Christian. But let me say this. While we do not want to fall into that ditch on the one hand that says you have to be baptized, and then in a certain, you know, among certain groups of people, you have to be baptized and meet all these criteria, and then you are saved. We need to be careful. But on the other hand, you have some folks who say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. You've been saved. You don't really need to be baptized. And a person comes to believe that, you know, I don't really need to be baptized. Well, the Bible says that you should. And my sense is this, and I'm just going to be frank with you. I instructed my secretary not long ago. I said, you know, I've got this list of people who've made professions of faith and they're supposed to be baptized. It's been years ago. And frankly, if I have to chase you down or someone has to chase you down to baptize you, there's something wrong with that picture. You're a disciple of Jesus. You don't want to be baptized? Rebellion in your heart? Why? What is it? You don't have the want to? Well, maybe you've never been saved. You say, well, it sounds like you're associating that with salvation. Follow me. You don't want to believe Jesus and follow Jesus? If we have to twist your arm to be baptized, there's something wrong with that. You have to have the want to. When you have the want to, believe me, you'll let us know, I want to be baptized. I haven't done that yet. I know that's what the Lord wants me to do because he left me an example, because he commanded it to be done, because it identifies me with Jesus, because I'm a believer in Jesus. Let me give you a dozen reasons why you ought to be baptized, okay? And I'm trying to do that this morning. So, what is this baptism? What is the meaning of baptism? Well, why be baptized by immersion? Every baptism in the Bible is by immersion. Every baptism that we find. In fact, the word itself is really just a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo, it means to immerse. I could have, and I was going to bring you out the dictionaries that I have in my office. Multiple dictionaries, okay? Thick dictionaries. I have a 14-volume set of lengthy word studies that trace the origin of baptism, both in Christian and non-Christian groups, and why we as Christians believe it, what the Bible teaches. I mean, it's extensive, but I don't think you would have wanted me to read all that to you this morning. But if you'd like to come by, I'll give it to you. My point is this, is you cannot build a case for sprinkling someone from the New Testament. Every person who was saved, they were baptized by immersion. That's what it means. It literally means to dunk. Now, the good thing is you get to come up out of the water, you know. We don't hold you down. It identifies you with Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so it means that you are, well, literally it means to immerse. I think my PowerPoint's gone astray with me there. So baptism, it illustrates our, it communicates our identification with Christ, that cleansing, but it means to be immersed. And in fact, the picture of baptism that gives us the best understanding of new life in Christ is that of immersion. When you look at the book of Acts, for instance, you'll find that there are groups of people that are being baptized. These people are, according to the scripture, they're of all backgrounds and walks of life. Groups of people that are being baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, Paul baptizes in Acts chapter 8 and verses 34 through 39. Cornelius is being baptized in Acts chapter 10 and verse 47 through 48. These people are all being immersed. Lydia and her household, they're baptized in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer and his household are being baptized in Acts chapter 16. The point is this, is that all the times that you look at this word, you find that they're being immersed. We just believe that that's what the Bible teaches. On what basis do you believe what you believe? I don't intend to be insulting, but let's be frank about this, because I've been there, done that. I was christened as a child. I do not remember it. If you remember your baptism, you are a remarkable human being. You don't have the memory to go back that far. None of us do. The premise of baptism and christening is to deal with the matter of original sin. And that in some way there is a covering dealing with the matter of original sin. And yet as a child, we don't know. As an infant, we just simply did not know. I can't think back that far. We did not have the wherewithal. We did not have the faculties. We didn't have the mentality to actually comprehend what this whole thing was about. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So who should be baptized? Every person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person who's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, his salvation, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 specifically, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's the day of Pentecost. This is a Jewish audience largely. They're saved, and you know what they do? I'm going to be baptized. There, at the bottom of the steps, just outside the temple, exist these places where cleansing took place. In fact, that's an amazing thing. Just the steps themselves. I stood there last year, you know, that I went and I stood there and I asked our tour guide at the time, why are all these steps so different? They're not cut, you know, nice and neat like ours. They're not measured to the same length and depth and so forth, height. They're all different. And I was told that the reason why these steps were made that way is because Herod did not want anyone, interesting enough, wasn't even a believer in Messiah, but did not want anyone approaching the temple haphazardly. So when you would go up these various steps, you had to really think through it and take your time. You couldn't rush up into the temple area. You had to take your time and think this through. At the feet of those steps were baptismal pools where cleansing took place. Don't show up and worship God without any understanding of cleansing and confession. You see, when we're baptized, we're saying, Lord God, thank you for your cleansing power in my life. I identify with you. You're my master. You're my Lord. And so we're baptized, and you're ready to be baptized when you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is God's Son. We teach that at Vacation Bible School, don't we? That Jesus Christ is God's Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe that He is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, that Jesus Himself, as I described earlier, this one who has existed before time and will exist after time, this one who is truly the Son of God, this is the Jesus we believe in. That's what the Bible teaches about Him. And once again, it gets back to what are we going to believe and why? Do we believe this is what the Bible teaches, or has somebody just simply told us what to believe? And we just do it. We hadn't really thought about it, but we just do that. On what basis do we believe these things? Because the issue is really at the heart of everything we talk about here and everything that's preached from this pulpit. The issue is, what is the truth? And on what basis can you know that truth? I just happen to believe a Bible that's written over a 1,600-year period of time by over 40 different authors, writing with such continuity that the world has never seen a work of literature like that. In all the world, there's never been anything like this Bible we believe in. Never. People who did not talk to one another, and yet they wrote with continuity. That's an amazing thing. That two of us could sit down and think of the same subject to write on. We might could get a couple of us to actually, without talking with one another, actually write on the same subject, much less to write on it with agreement. Now, I can just go on and on about this Bible. And I hope week to week you understand that the reason why we believe the things that we believe are founded upon Scripture, the Holy Word of God. That's why we believe them. If not, then I say forget it all. I'd rather be playing golf or fishing or doing something if this isn't true, wouldn't you? Some of y'all do, don't you? But anyways, that's another subject. I got you, didn't I? I zinged you. As long as that's not your practice. Listen, let me tell you, we fellowship together. But listen, if it's not true, then let's just shut her down. But it's true. It's true because we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And upon that foundation, we determine what we believe. And so, when do you know you should be baptized? When you're ready to be, when you believe on Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, when you have repented and you're ready to turn your life around, you're willing to say, I'm willing to turn from this direction I've been going and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't just say, stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. He says, stop it, but he also says, start it. So stop the direction you're going. Stop living that way. You have found, be honest, that direction has left you high and dry. It's left you hanging. It's left you empty. Solomon says it is at the very end of the deal. At the end of the deal, you always feel this dissatisfaction. You know why? Because it doesn't hold any water. It leaves you dissatisfied. That's what life is like apart from Jesus. But when you stop and you start turning your life over to Jesus, when you turn your life over to Him, now there is a filling of your life. Not just, well, stop doing this and doing that. There are some things we need to stop doing. But there are a whole lot of things we need to start doing. And one of those things is to keep our eyes on Jesus and to follow His commandments and to put our mind and our heart into the Word of God. And so we must repent. But then also, you're ready to be baptized when you're ready to put your past behind you. When you're ready to put your past behind you. You're willing to put your life in His hands. And there's a number of scriptures that we could look at. But the Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God in John 1:12. And what you're saying is that, you know, I have found the emptiness in this, but I'm ready. I'm ready now. Now, I got to tell you something about the whole ready thing, just so you know it. God's been preparing you. I just believe in a sovereign God who awakens our heart, who opens our eyes, who allows us to hear for the first time in our life. What was it about a little boy in the ninth grade who ran over to the neighbor's house and heard this message about Jesus, whom he thought he had always believed in, but that night something was different because that little teenage boy gave his life to Jesus Christ. He had heard of this Jesus before, but at that moment something changed. That was a sovereign God moving my life to that place where I would be born again. I didn't think it up. I didn't conjure it up. God had this plan He initiated, and God has brought you to this place this day. Not because you worked it up in your mind and you thought you were going to get here. Listen, don't give yourself too much credit here. You need to recognize that God's been trying to get your attention. He's been running after you for a long time. This God who manifested Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, He's been trying to get our attention. So you ready? Are you ready to put that past behind you? Are you ready to just turn your life over to this Jesus? Are you ready? You can make that decision today. You know that? You can make that decision. Well, I want to talk to you for just a moment as you're thinking that through and wondering, well, what does that mean? What does that look like here? I want to ask the question about children, okay? About children. Because this inevitably comes up. Should we baptize children? And infants particularly, okay? Infants. What does the Bible say? Well, in the New Testament, we do not find babies being baptized. We don't find them. And so we don't make that a practice in our church. We don't make a practice of baptizing infants. However, we rejoice and are excited for parents when they dedicate their children to the Lord. That's a special time. And after your child is born, I hope you as a mom or dad, you're really, it's parent dedication. We call it baby dedication. It's really parent dedication. And we rejoice. In fact, if you're a mom or dad and you haven't yet made that decision to dedicate your child to the Lord, maybe you just didn't know that's what you were supposed to do, or maybe didn't see the value in it. Let me encourage you to do that. We've had baby dedications for toddlers or for preschoolers. And you say, well, I can't do that. It's too late. No, it's not too late. Mom and dad, there's never too late. You have a responsibility to raise your children up in the ways of the Lord. And so we don't find infant baptism. We don't sprinkle them. We don't christen them. We don't practice that. And you understand the reason we don't is because it's not in the Bible. I mean, you know, there are groups who do practice that. But it's not a biblical teaching that we find, okay? So we, as Christians who are Baptists, we just don't. Because the Bible does not teach that. And yet we rejoice when every little one. In fact, I love to be at the hospital when couples have their baby. Oftentimes, we have the baby dedication right there. That's when it really happens. And then we have a formal one here at the church where family can come. And we do rejoice in that. In fact, it's a wonderful time, and I hope you'll do that. And then at Mother's Day, what do? We have we string them all up across the... is that the right word? You know, 2 weeks in a row, I just keep sticking my foot in my mouth. But we bring all those little babies up here with their moms and dads, and we have a corporate dedication in the family of God, the church. We enter into a covenant. We, the church, what do we say? The church says, we are in covenant. We are here to help you. That's right. We're here to cheer you on, encourage you, to mentor young women, to disciple young men. We're here. Why? Because the Bible teaches that. Yes, we, the church, are here when your little ones need to go out and be taken care of in the nursery and in extended care and so forth and so on. We're the church. We're the ones going to help you. Remember all that commitment we make? Remember that? Not just the parents, it's the church. And in a sense, your child becomes my child and my child becomes your child, right? They become church kids. So like church mice, just running all over the place, right? Now we want to see them grow up in the Lord. So our purpose here is to raise children who will walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we don't practice infant baptism because the Bible doesn't teach it, we do practice children, the dedication of infants and children to the Lord. Now, what about older children? Because I believe that the scripture teaches that it is with childlike faith, isn't it? Childlike faith. You don't have to know the complexities of Revelation or know the 10 toes of Daniel. You don't even have to understand that, you know, Genesis 1 through 11, you know? While I do think that is vitally important, it's not essential for salvation. And so a child can come to believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, they want to. They want to. The truth is that before their 18th birthday, if we as parents have not taken the time and discipled and walked with them in this decision, chances are that they will not. They are impressionable. And we as parents have to make sure they know about Jesus. At Vacation Bible School, we have a great time here all week long. When we have the kids come, they all know their ABCs. Admit, believe, confess. You know, they know their ABCs every year about salvation. But we don't ask them to come down the aisle because at that moment, if I were to say to these little children, if I were to say, listen, if you believe in Jesus, you'll go to hell, to heaven. If you don't, you'll go to hell. You know what? Every one of them will be down here. And we don't want to play upon the emotions of a child. But let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with the emotion of a child so long as you don't abuse it. It's so vital that we as a church cultivate this, but you as a parent are responsible to teaching your child about Jesus. And as they grow a little bit older, for them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized is a wonderful thing. There's not a certain age for this, okay? You say, when is my child ready? I don't, you know, Cheryl and I, raising Kyle and Tanner, you know, we were at that place too, thinking, okay, at what point? I mean, you know, I'm a pastor and pastor's wife, and we're saying, oh Lord, are they ready? Is this the time? You say, well, really, did you go through? Yes, I just want you to know as a parent, because this is such a critical time, you want to make sure and spend time with them and take in the teachable moments and say, okay, this is what this is about. And help them to understand so that you get a sense that, number one, they understand who Jesus is. And number two, there is a drawing of their heart to Jesus. It's what we call the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And you say, oh, Lord God, help us. Give us wisdom as parents. Sometimes we can be helpful in that, and we can help you with encouraging your child. But I think most oftentimes you as a parent know. So walk close with Jesus so that you understand where your children are. It's a matter of life and death. Your relationship with Jesus, don't try to pawn it off on the preachers. Okay? You understand that? It's a parent's responsibility. But we as ministers and as under-shepherds, we are here to encourage and speak to them and help you in that process. We would rejoice with you. So, can children be baptized? Most definitely they can if they've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's best to wait and give them time to grow in the things of the Lord. In fact, if your child comes to know Jesus, one of the things that we'll do is give them a little booklet that you as a parent can work with them in. It's entitled, Now That I've Accepted Jesus. And it's a four-week study. It's a daily study. You work with them, and you take time to try to lay a foundation. And then we schedule a time for them to be baptized. It's a lot of words on baptism. There's a lot of meat here on baptism. But I want you to bow with me in a time of prayer, because this matter of baptism is so important. There may be some questions that you had about baptism that I just did not address, and I'm sure there probably are. And I want you to know that if there, as you're thinking through this, just as your head is bowed, and I want you to just talk with the Lord. You know you can do that. No fanciful words. Just be open and transparent with the Lord. That ask the Lord to speak to your heart about this issue. If you have believed on the Lord and you've never been baptized, you need to be. Not because I say so. It's because the Word of God says so. On that basis, it will be a springboard in your life. When I was baptized after my freshman year, and it was just a springboard in my life. I'll tell you more about that story later, but it was a springboard. It was really a spiritual moment and a catalyst in my life. It represented that for me. And so I invite you today to come forward and say, you know, I need to be baptized. I need to follow the Lord in that way. Maybe it's not baptism this morning, but first of all, you're recognizing that you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And you want to confess Him as your Savior today. That's the first thing you need to do, is confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10. So that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. That means you. Anyone this morning. Father God, in these moments of invitation, Lord, I pray that you would confirm the decision that needs to be made. That people will be saved, they'll be obedient, that they will encounter you. They will experience your presence in a mighty, mighty way this morning. It'll be so real and personal to them, and we will rejoice with them as fellow believers, as those who've, Lord God, who've experienced your hand at work in our lives in this way. So, Father, confirm this decision in their lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. The Lord has spoken to your heart. You come forward as Brother Guy leads us in this invitation song.